Hi Andrew, so we're back again talking
You
about this
won't say that in a
topic.
resigned way. Oh, here we go.
Well, only because it's such a big topic and it's the self-awareness thing is quite a big thing, isn't it, as we discovered in the last sort of episode here. And we were talking about what it is, self-awareness, which I think we've pinned down a little bit, but probably not as much as we could do. But I suppose following on from that is, how do we develop self-awareness in ourselves? I think that's, the next thing to discuss, isn't it, really? So how do we develop self-awareness?
Yeah, I'm not dreading this conversation. I'm only dreading what we leave out because the further I've dug into it, the more multifaceted, nuanced, which is a word I try and get into just about everything, and frankly, huge this thing is. So I think wherever we go with this, we'll probably have loose ends, plenty of them to tie up. So, yeah, how do we go about it? I suppose to me, it starts with two things: a desire and a will, and I think they're different. If there's a genuine intention to become more self-aware, there's got to be something inside of you that feels that's a good idea. And sustaining that will in what are likely to be challenging times, because self-awareness, it seems to me, is not an easy journey to take on. You might well discover things and perceptions of others, for instance, and of yourself, you don't like. It might be something you want to give up upon. So I think you need a desire to do it in the first place. And I wonder just how many people have got that. I haven't had up to now. I've not made an intentional journey in 63 years since birth to become more self-aware. I'm not sure I even will. So is there a desire and is there a will to sustain the journey?
I think for me, sometimes I think it's why I've possibly sought to improve my self-awareness is because I've been triggered to because of a reaction from somebody else that I didn't anticipate, or like, hang on a minute, why is that person reacting in this way towards me, or how did I end up in this situation? So for me, I think there's maybe been an experience what's triggered me to think, right, I need to become a bit more self-aware. What is it that is triggering me, or how can I improve my relationships with people? So for me, there's been a trigger to want to do that. So I suppose that's the desire, and that's given me the will because I've wanted to improve it and improve an in situation.
And maybe, Rebecca, that doesn't happen for a lot of people. There's nothing that has an impact on them sufficient to want to take that journey on.
Yeah, but also I think, like you say, it can be uncomfortable, and I think perhaps people, is it a bit like opening Pandora's box? You don't know what you're going to find, and once you open the lid, then it's quite difficult to shut it back again. So perhaps people consciously choose not to go down that
I
path
have.
as well.
I know I have. I know that I've had conversations with myself, and I have many, some of them quite explicit and spoken, where I've made a conscious decision not to do that. And I guess if I'm being honest, and I like to be, I find it easier to be honest now than I did 25 years ago, it's because I probably didn't want to know what I would discover.
Yeah. We all have things that perhaps we're not proud of, or the fact that perhaps we understand that we could do things better, or that we do have some maybe bad habits and things. And it, for me, that term shadow self comes into to play a little bit here. Are we ready to face the shadows, because it's uncomfortable. And I think you have to get to a certain point where you, to some extent, you have to be sort of self-aware to get to that point where you
Yeah.
recognize there's parts of you that you don't necessarily like, but not necessarily.
Yeah, all of that I say yes to. It's a yes and, not a yes but. Yes and it could be personal. There could be your own self-perception of what, for instance, you're good at could be challenged. And that's a very fragile place for a lot of people, myself included. And also, how if we're seeking feedback from others, which is one means by which this can be done, are we being too selective? I want to become more self-aware, so I need to get feedback from you. So I'll make a list of all the people that like me and have my own views of myself reinforced by people that clearly like me. Well, how brave are you to make another list to say, what about the people who, if they're honest, and that's another thing, how honest, how authentic, how skilled, how prepared are anyone prepared to be that you engage in this process? When you engage humans, there are other means by which this can be done, like journaling. I've been looking at, for instance, I've kept a journal since 1987. And I just talk, don't just talk about it. I've written 1.5 million words in it. And if anyone believes otherwise, I've written 1,500 this morning in preparation for this. So by whatever means you engage in it, is it going to be authentic process? Is it going to give you valuable, accurate data, whatever that means? And whose judgment is that? There's so many things in it, so many filters.
Yeah. And also, I suppose, what's the purpose of it? Because
yeah.
I suppose this is where you get, where people might get caught up in the sort of navel gazing, and actually is it, what's the purpose of it? And I think I've listened to something recently and about reading and stuff, but before we read a book, we need to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of this? What do I hope to get out of it, and how will I use it? And I think that can be a similar thing with any learning. What will I do with the learning, you know, and how will it benefit myself? How will it benefit others to do this? Because otherwise, you know, if you're just going to find things that you're not happy about, is it just going to make you really sad and miserable and inspire you to do anything or not with it? I know that's sort of gone off on a tangent there.
No, I know it's a tangent. As a tangent taker myself, I'm very forgiving of people who feel they are. Yeah, and I suppose I'm once again brought back to desire and will. All the things you talked about mitigate against developing the desire to do it meaningfully and maintaining the will to do it in the face of challenging feedback, self-reflection, maybe adjustment and downward adjustment, typically, but not always, of your view of yourself. Because it's too easy to think that self-awareness is going to be a harmful, challenging journey. It can be. It can also be a very positive, very worthwhile, very invigorating, energizing journey. You might get feedback that says, hey, I'm a hell of a lot better than I thought I was. I didn't realize that people liked me in this way. So we shouldn't get drawn in, I think, to a self-awareness leads you down this route type thing, because it can lead you down a lot of different routes. Some of them could be challenging and frankly harmful. Others could be really encouraging and invigorating.
Definitely, yeah. And I think it can be really helpful to do that sort of exercise to help us see how much we've progressed as well. You know, we've developed that self-awareness and we're handling things a lot better than we would have done a year or so ago or whatever, you know. And so that's through progress, reflection, like say journaling type things, that it can be a very positive thing. And I think maybe people who have struggled with low self-esteem, perhaps there is, it would need to be done in a very careful way, I think. You know, how do we help people to get the positive impact of developing their self-awareness? Because you're right, I think it could go either way. And I think this is where it's helpful to work with somebody else on this rather than just doing it yourself.
Yeah, I know a really good coach in Sheffield who'd be good on this. Anyone who's watched this, you know, that's where to go. Yeah, and that's raised another issue. To what degree will this be a individual solo odyssey? And maybe you have a particular person, call them a coach, call them whatever you like, to help you, given that you might engage many others in the process. So in other words, are you going to seek advice in this, or are you going to take your own? There's so much. But in terms of the how-tos, I mean, I'm just having a sneaky look at the definition we used in the previous one. There are many different definitions, but I'll just say it again. People might be listening to this or watching this one, not the other one we did, which is more about what is it. But we started in that one to define this thing called self-awareness as the ability to focus on yourself and how your actions, thoughts, or emotions do or do not align with your internal standards. And, you know, I don't want to reiterate what we said before, but if you're looking to do this stuff, you need to be clear about your internal standards. And I think that's where you start. Now, whichever definition of self-awareness you work from, and I think it does help to do that, otherwise you're working in the abstract, I like the idea of starting with clarity about your internal standards. How on earth do you get clarity about your internal standards, meaning values, beliefs, whatever it is, and from whom do you check that out to be the foundation for this journey we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in this. I think there's definitely another conversation to be had, isn't there? I suppose, but
Clear our diary for the day. We'll do five more.
I know. Yeah, definitely. I think one of the ways we identify our values and things like that is when we feel a strong emotion towards something. That if we are, you know, we hear certain things on the news, maybe about health or politics or whatever. When we experience a strong emotion to it, it for me that indicates that it's triggered some sort of value in me.
Yeah, which is probably unconscious, subliminal, and intangible. I guess also when you get, it's easier sometimes to observe something less impressive, more negative, and say, well, if that's not self-awareness, or if that's someone not behaving in a self-aware way, the opposite of that is more likely to be self-aware. So if you see someone who's rude, who doesn't understand the impact of what they're saying on others, who's making an ill-considered comment that they haven't thought about the impact on the recipient, then you think, all right, turn that around. Maybe so self-aware people do this. And so I think there are, as you say, entry points for this by the observation of others, the honest observation of yourself, by the clarification, by journaling or whatever else, of fleeting thoughts into more tangible ideas. There's a lot written about this. There's a lot of accessible material. I'm gathering it in myself. I'm getting interested in this, so I'm going to gather in some of the literature, the videos, and the thoughts. So this isn't something without a body of knowledge out there to tap into as to how we go about it.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, for me, the key is, what do I want to do with this information? If I learn more about myself, how will I use that going forward to help me lead a more fulfilling life and have
Wow.
a better impact on the people around me?
It sounds very aspirational. It sounds very, I'm
Yeah.
not going to use the word pompous because that would be insulting. But yeah, it is hard to articulate what this is all about. And because of its depth and its significance and its fundamental nature, I think we are talking about things that important.
Yeah, I definitely think it's really important, because if more people were more self-aware, then I think we'd have less I think we'd have less arguments and less what's it, less conflict actually as well.
Or what arguments and conflict we had would be more constructive, more respectful, and more
Yes.
skilled.
Yeah.
So as we near what is clearly an endpoint for this, but this is something we'll pick up again. I just know we will, and it can be related to so many other things. For me, this conversation has reinforced the significance of this issue, and it might make me a little more brave to venture into a bit more self-awareness, if only by understanding more of it and reflecting on it myself. I'm not sure I'm brave enough to see. I'm a lot older than you, and if I was 23, I think you're 26 now, but if I was 23, I might be braver because I got less history. At 63, if I went to people that have known me for a long time, I wonder if I've got the courage to seek, or particularly to accept, their perceptions of me, which might be significantly contrasting to my own.
That's interesting, and I can see that lead it. That's raised another point in me altogether, but I think we'd have to leave that, because you know, when we're younger, are we willing to accept that we might not be our best selves? Whereas we're older, perhaps we are more willing to. That you know, that's a completely different line. But yeah, that's raised a different point for me altogether there.
That is a different line. I'm not going to go into it now, but it's a
Well, let's
Dunning-Kruger effect,
not.
because the Dunning-Kruger effect says things just the opposite, that broadly speaking, that younger people exaggerate their competence and are projecting a feeling of competence that they haven't yet proved. And older people, like myself, get to a point, as I do, of reflecting on life and say, well, he didn't do this. You weren't so good at that, were you? They got a retrospective, which typically is about underachievement. So
Yeah.
Dunning-Kruger effect argues completely against that. But I think young people might be more robust and got less history to to bring in as baggage. I think I've got both history and baggage. I've got, it's more likely what I might get told by others is not what I want to hear, because there's just more of them and there's more for them to reflect upon. Another time for that. Let's not get too deeply into
it. No, let's not go down that one today. So I suppose, what would be your takeaway, or what will you do as a result of our conversation today?
What I'd do, I wouldn't be brave enough or foolhardy enough to say for definite, but I'm going to explore it further. I've developed an interest in this, which I'm really going to pursue. And probably that's as far as I'm prepared to go, because I'm not going to make grand statements about it. I'm going to become more self-aware in the next 6 weeks by talking to a load of people who are going to tell me I'm not who I think I am. I haven't got the courage to do that. And I haven't got the intention or will yet, but I want to find out more about it.
Yeah, I think for me, it's given me a few things that I want to think about as well, some food for thought to go away and ponder on.
Well, that's an appetite to maintain.
Yes.
Thank you once again.
Thank you.